Harrison with the Yoga of War podcast. Here today with campus activist Jane Hoffman. If you appreciate and find value in these important discussions, please consider supporting the show. Details are pinned in the comments below. At this point, anyone in the Israel game knows Shabbos Kestenbaum and Shai Davidai. Pay attention a little closer, and you probably know Tessa Vexler and Elliot Sivas, too. These pro-Israel campus activists have gotten a tremendous amount of media and social media attention, which helps them to carry their cause even in the face of the most vile and relentless adversity and abuse. But what happens when you're a lone soldier fighting for Israel and the Jewish people without international influencers and hundreds of thousands of supporters cheering you on? Jane Hoffman, a remarkable young woman who just completed her freshman year at the University of Colorado Boulder, is a fearless and proud Zionist who stands up and speaks up against any and all anti-Israel and anti-Semitic behavior that dares to fall within her sphere. Whether it's confronting the dean of her university or the local barista, Jane is a one-woman IDF defending the Jewish nation she so dearly loves. This kind of moral clarity, conviction, and courage is extremely rare among Gen Z. Welcome to Generation Zionist. Jane Hoffman is a student at the University of Colorado Boulder, where she's studying psychology. At CU, Jane is actively involved in Jewish life and leadership on campus. Being a part of the Jewish community and a Zionist is central to the core of her being. She looks forward to interning at CAMRA this fall, where she'll get to expand her passion and dedication to Israel advocacy. Jane, thank you so much for joining me today. So many young adults are afraid to speak up the way that you do, and that makes you incredibly special. And from the, 10,000 texts I've received from your parents in the last 24 hours, I know that they agree that you're an incredibly special young woman.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So let's start there, because ultimately everything starts at home. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a bit about your family and your Jewish upbringing?
Yeah. So I grew up in a very pro-Israel Jewish household. Ever since I can remember, my dad has been in Jewish high school, and that just brought more passion out of me, passion for being Jewish and for Israel. I went to a Jewish sleepaway camp for a few years. I've been to Israel 3 times. And yeah.
Awesome. So clearly it was front and center in your upbringing. Yeah. On a day-to-day basis, was Zionism something that was important in your home? Now, I bring this up because, like, when I was growing up, I remember Golda Meir passing. I was a young child, and my mom having us all gather around the piano and sing songs for Golda. I think about my mother, who was 4 when the State of Israel was founded. Wow. And she remembers it. Wow. Like, that's how important Zionism was. Mm-hmm. In our home. How important was Zionism? I know you say your father was very Zionistic. Mm-hmm. What form did that take, like, in your home?
Can you clarify?
So if you were 10, mm-hmm, or 8 or 6, and somebody said to you, what do you think about Israel? Or, mm-hmm, are you a Zionist? Would you have an answer for them?
Yeah, I think I would definitely say I love Israel. Even if I was young and had never been to Israel, I know I would say I love Israel. I stand by Israel. I love being Jewish. I've always been proud to be Jewish and not afraid to let people know that I'm Jewish or, I always have stood behind Israel and being Jewish and the Jewish people. And yeah.
Okay. And as you already stated, you consider yourself to be a Zionist.
Yeah.
What is a Zionist to you? Don't worry about the actual definition of mm-hmm. Zionism, but for you personally, what does it mean to be a Zionist?
To me, it means never-ending support for Israel, no matter the choice they choose to make or who, I don't know, just anything Israel does that you stand behind them and you believe that the Jews deserve a place to call home and for Jews to live and yeah.
Okay. So when you think about, now this is a bit of a weird question, your soul, do you feel on a soul level, I know your body lives here mm-hmm. in California and part-time in Boulder, do you feel like a piece of your soul is actually in Israel?
I do. I have always said that I believe like my true and happiest self is when I'm in Israel. And also just being around Jewish people, I feel just truly happy and content with everything. And yeah, I...
Why do you think that is? So do you feel like it's always been that way? I mean, you grew up in the Valley, mm-hmm. in Woodland Hills. There's a very strong Jewish community there.
Yeah.
Did you always like have a sense that you were more comfortable with Jewish people? Is this just since 10-7? Is this just since college, since you got out of a Jewish high school? Like mm-hmm. what?
I think, I went to a Catholic middle school. There were a lot of Jews there, but my friends were non-Jews. And I think that was like the first time in my life where like my closest friends weren't Jewish. And I honestly never really like thought of that. Like, but going to a Jewish high school, I definitely feel like
you felt more at home.
Yeah, I feel more at home and comfortable and more myself just because like when I meet someone and they're Jewish, I already feel like I know them because it's just like feeling comfortable with them, knowing like you have that in common.
Right.
And like if someone's wearing a Star of David, like I'm wearing a Star of David. It's like we're already best friends. Like this is like you already feel like you know this person even though you just met them.
Again, would you say this is more post 10-7 or did you always feel that way?
I think I realized it most when I went to DeToledo because I was surrounded by all Jews, everyone being proud to be Jewish. And I think that really like got me to be more aware and proud and vocal. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a game changer to be inside or out. I had the reverse experience. I actually went to Orthodox school. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally the reverse. I went to Orthodox school until sixth grade, where I was very immersed in a very, very Jewish community. And then junior high school and high school, there were like no Jews in Irvine at the time, mm-hmm. like none. Mm-hmm. And so I was, and also like after your bat mitzvah, you're sort of like, and done with this Jewish thing. And then I went to Cornell and everyone was Jewish again. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me, it sparked something inside of me that yeah. I had forgotten about. Mm-hmm. So I get that. So here's a little bit of a weird question. So your parents are Zionist. Your father is the uber Zionist.
Yes.
And full disclosure, I've known your parents since you were a little girl.
Yeah.
Do you think that you're a Zionist because your parents are Zionists, or are you a Zionist because it's something that you decided on your own?
I think that it's something I've decided on my own, but I do think my parents' beliefs had an influence on that, because I feel that, like, if I wasn't growing up in a household where they were very vocal about being a Zionist, maybe I wouldn't have been as proud or vocal as I am now. But I do think that I truly believe I'm a Zionist, no matter, like, what other people believe.
Nice. Okay, so let's talk about your high school. For people who don't know, Di Toledo is the Jewish school. It doesn't sound like a Jewish school.
Yes.
So people who aren't in LA, and probably people who are in LA, don't all know about this.
Mm-hmm.
While you were there, what did you learn specifically about Israel and the war? Did you have, like, history classes? Were you, what did they teach you about the war?
Yeah, so we, in 10th grade, we actually, our history class was dedicated to World War II, and we took a trip all of 10th grade to Israel. And there we got to experience Israel and see it firsthand. I remember on October 8th, the whole school gathering in the gym and the head of school, debriefing in a very surface level way, because, you know, we're kids, we're students.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I remember him crying, and I started crying, and I was just, like, so heartbroken, but I was, like, so proud to be at a Jewish school, because I know, like, there are so many Jews at other schools that their school didn't recognize what happened. And so I was so grateful that I got to be sad and be supported by people who know exactly how I'm feeling. And yeah.
So, quick question, it's just a clarifying question, and
yeah,
it might be an oversight. October 8th was a Sunday. Did you guys have special?
October 9th then.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if me, I'm not doing this.
No. It was the Monday after. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if maybe they had, like, a special assembly.
No.
You have a unique school because, among other things, Danielle Sassy, who's been on this show, who's a Nova survivor, went to your high school.
Yeah.
And she came in and spoke to you.
I think it was this past year.
Gone.
Yeah.
Okay. But I know, like, how deeply, even as a left-leaning school, there's a lot of passion,
yeah,
for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk a little bit about left and right, but for right now, so you went to Israel. You said you learned about World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn about the Israel-Palestinian conflict?
Not really, no.
Not really. Interesting. It's interesting because I didn't either.
Mm-hmm.
I went to, again, Jewish school till sixth grade. I had no idea. It's different now because you live in the information age. I didn't even know there was a conflict.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a war. I didn't know anything. War was never central to what we learned, but mm-hmm. peace was.
Yeah, I also didn't really know about the conflict either. I remember, like, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, our neighbors were Muslim and they wrote on our sidewalk, "Free Palestine." And I remember thinking, like, I don't know what that means. And my dad went over there and asked them to wash it away. But I was like, I have no idea what this means. And, like, when people would mention, oh, Palestine this, I'd be like, what? Like, I don't know what that is. Until, honestly, October 7th, because that's when it really, like, became a thing for people. Yeah.
Did you know these children? Would you
yes.
say on our sidewalk, you mean specifically in front of
yes.
your house or on the street?
No, it was in front of our house on the sidewalk.
Were you friends with these children?
Friendly.
Interesting. Interesting, because, okay, so now I'm hearkening back to childhood friends that perhaps, not perhaps, were like born-again Christians who would, just as innocent kids, say, you killed Jesus, or, you know, like things that it's like,
yeah,
what? Like,
yeah.
Like you don't even know what they're saying, but your parents know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And do you think these children knew what they were writing? Did you ever ask them?
No, I honestly don't know if they knew. I think they knew like maybe the central idea of what it meant, but, and I'm not sure if it was like, I don't know if they, cause it was nothing like specific that could have triggered it. Like if they had done it on October 9th or something, it would have lined up to what's happening. But like many years before October 7th, why would you write that?
So perhaps as a child, it was some innocuous thing that they heard a parent say, and that they knew that you were Jewish. They knew it had something to do with Judaism or not Judaism.
Yeah.
And so they wrote it. When you see what's going on campus today, and we'll talk more specifically about it later, but do you think that most of the people who are saying the horrible things that they're saying are like that kid who was writing chalk on your sidewalk? Do you think that they understand what they're saying?
I think it's half and half. I think a lot of people follow the trend of Free Palestine, Queer for Palestine. I think a lot of people follow that trend because that's what everyone else is doing. And then I think the other half is actually knowledgeable. But what confuses me is like the population of the people that are supporting the Free Palestine movement, because it's people like who are white and don't, like, I don't, why are they chanting this? And then there are Muslims who, it makes sense, if that makes sense. But yeah, I think it's like half and half.
Do you have friends from DTLito who are in the IDF who went as lone soldiers, or not even friends? Were there people from your class?
Yeah, there were a few who, one I think went straight to the IDF. I know one is going to the IDF. Yeah.
Why do you think they would do that?
Because they're proud Zionists. They care about defending our country. They're Israeli.
Oh, they're actually Israeli.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you were in school, it sounds like you didn't learn much about the war at all. Did they ever tell you to glorify things like death and killing?
Not that I remember. I don't know.
Are you aware of what children are taught in Gaza vis-a-vis the war?
What do you mean? Like?
So in Gaza, okay, children actually learn about the Israel-Palestine conflict. I never say Palestine. I can't believe I just said that. Palestinian conflict. From preschool. Uh-huh. From the time that they can basically walk and talk. Okay. They're taught, and this is all over the internet. They have Sesame Street type shows where big puppet people teach them to kill Jews wherever they could find them. Is that the kind of thing that you learned about Muslims in Jewish school?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that we're on the same page.
Yeah.
I also never learned anything like that, but can you see how that might create a radicalized
100%
civilization?
Yeah.
If it's civil.
And it also just speaks volumes of the differences between these educations, like how Jews handle things versus how the other side handle things, and what information is being taught, and all of that.
Okay. What info? So let's dig into that.
Well, just like, I mean, at Dizalito, we weren't taught to, if there was a Muslim right there, to kill them. like you were saying about how yeah. they're taught to kill Jews. I think when we were learning about any type of conflict, like we were not taught, we were taught to learn both sides, but maybe one side was favored a little more. Yeah.
Okay. So it was more based on critical thinking.
Yeah.
So overall, how do you think that the combination of your home life and your education affected how you feel about Israel and the current war? Now, the current war, I mean, it's very complicated, mm-hmm. particularly all of the vitriol coming not just from the world, from the media, from diplomats, from it's hard to keep the head straight. Mm-hmm. You know, I even as 100% pro-Israel as I am, have to check in sometimes and say, am I the one who's not thinking clearly about this? And mm-hmm. I have to sort of double check that. How do you feel that the combination of your upbringing and your education affected how you feel right now about Israel and the current war?
Well, like I said, I growing up in like a Zionist household and then going to a Zionist Jewish school, I think I really resonated, which made me like speak my truth. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which when you think of Israel, mm-hmm. the IDF, mm-hmm. which word do you think of first, war or peace?
Peace.
Why?
Because the war is not always their choice, that they are fighting this war as defense, to defend them, because of what was started by the other side. And I mean, Israel is just an amazing country filled with amazing people that I don't think war is like the word that comes to mind when I think of Israel or the IDF.
Yeah. There's an understanding that war is a necessary evil.
Yeah.
That war is something that's forced upon Israel. This is a defensive war. It's not something they seek. They will make peace with anyone. Yeah. I would say probably the first Hebrew word that all of us learn is shalom, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it also happens to mean hello and goodbye, so it makes sense.
Yes.
But shalom is a very, very big and repetitive theme mm-hmm. in Judaism.
Yeah.
And even the people who were slaughtered on 10/7, and even when you talk to IDF soldiers, and even when you talk to Netanyahu, as hawkish as he is, ultimately, they all want peace. And this is the goal. Israel will make peace with any nation, literally any nation that will make peace with them. And war is not something that the IDF savors. Mm-hmm. It's something that is required of them.
Yeah.
I agree with you. So how many times have you been to Israel? And can you tell me a little bit, like connect the dots about your experience?
Yeah. So I've been to Israel 3 times. The first time was with my family. I was young, probably 10, something like that. I don't remember a lot of it, but I do remember just falling in love with the people, the food, the country, the vibes of the whole thing. And then I went again in 10th grade with DeToledo, and that was also an amazing experience. Not only just being with my friends in Israel, just being older and more aware, I just got to see so much more and really savor the experience and like appreciate it. And then I went again. I went on a program called Alexander Muss, which is the American high school in Israel. I went for the summer for 6 weeks in Be'er Sheva, and it was the best summer of my life. That trip truly made me fall in love with Israel, and just I really just felt like at peace. Like I was like, this is where I'm meant to be. This is what I'm meant to support and be proud. And yeah, I just love Israel. I don't know what to say.
You already said it.
And yeah, those trips were definitely crucial to my beliefs, because I do think if I had never been to Israel, I would still be a proud Zionist. But I think getting to experience the joy and just the amazing country makes it even easier to support Israel, because it's amazing. And I always say, I was, my new thing about like the anti-Israel protesters is that they need to be sent to Israel to experience the country, not be sent to Gaza and see what they're supporting, but to be sent to Israel to see what they're not supporting. Because how could you not love, even if you're not Jewish, how could you just not love the country, everything it has to offer? And I feel like their minds could be changed.
I actually agree completely. Seeing is believing. And that's why a lot of organizations like AIPAC bring people who are not familiar with Israel to Israel, because it's like when somebody offers a money-back guarantee, they're not going to offer a money-back guarantee unless they know that you're going to love the product. They don't want to give back, you know, $100 million worth of back to people who bought their product.
Yeah.
Seeing is believing. And you have so much passion and so much feeling. It's so obvious. So I'm going to ask you some questions, okay, about some feelings. Uh-huh. And I just want you to answer as comfortably as works for you. Mm-hmm. So my first question is, how did you feel when you heard about October 7th?
So I was touring a school with my mom when October 7th happened. And I remember opening my phone and seeing Israel is at war. But honestly, I was not like jaw on the floor, because that's all I had seen until later I saw like killed a music festival, all of this stuff. And I was like, just jaw on the floor, sad, heartbroken, all of the horrible emotions you never want to feel. And I think like the days after, I really saw the intensity of it and saw like, wow, this is not like any other war. Like this is huge. And yeah.
What bothered you more, the massacre and atrocities of October 7th or the world's response?
Both. The world's response just makes me so angry because of how passionate I am, and just seeing the videos and all of this stuff and knowing people are taken hostage is just a real hit to the heart. Like, how could someone not see the horrible, like, how could someone not see it? And yeah, I remember like a few days after October 7th, I was in my bed and I was crying because I was just so distraught about everything. But I think mostly I was just focusing in that moment on the war itself, like what had happened at the Nova Festival, at the kibbutzim, like all of that stuff is just really, really hurt me. And seeing now, what, almost 2 years later, how it's gotten I don't even know. Like, the world's response has probably gotten way worse. And we still have hostages. And it's just, I think about it on the daily. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I truly, like, I will always think about that day and just mourn the lives that were lost, and all of it is, yeah.
Today, which is stronger, the sadness or the anger?
I think the anger, because it's so hard for me to understand what people believe on the other side when I feel like it's such common sense, like between evil and not evil. Like, that is something that I feel like all humans could see. And the fact that they believe it's the opposite is just mind-blowing to me. Like, seriously, like, wow. Like, I'm embarrassed for you that you are supporting something so disgusting. And I would just want to scream at them, and I knock
scream into the pillow
and knock some sense into them. It's just, it makes me, it really works me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to keep going with these emotions, because there's a lot of emotional stuff going on right now, mm-hmm. and we're all wrapped up in it. So you lived in Be'er Sheva for mm-hmm. a summer. How did it make you feel to see Be'er Sheva being hit by Iranian bombs in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Were these places, did you recognize these places? Do you keep in touch with people in Be'er Sheva? Like, mm-hmm. how did that affect you?
It was definitely very sad, because that's where I spent an entire summer and got to know the town. I didn't recognize anything. But I know the hospital they're talking about. And yeah, it's like, how, what, like, it's just, it's crazy to think that I was there 2 years ago. 2 years ago, everything was perfect and beautiful and in place. And now it's like not. And it's so sad, but I am so grateful that I got to experience Israel before the war, because, like, it'll never be the same, which is so heartbreaking. But this war is just really horrible.
It will never be the same, but you know it's going to be better, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. I know. I do have hope, of course. I fear for all of the people that have so much hate towards Israel, but in America, Hamas, all of these terrorist organizations, I fear so much that this beautiful place will not have its beauty. And I know it will, but yeah.
I understand those sentiments a lot because of how much I love Israel. Mm-hmm. I'm much more connected to Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. So when I saw like buildings being bombed in Tel Aviv, it just ripped out. It might as well have been this building next door to me.
Yeah.
But if there's one thing that I can for a moment reassure you of, there's no nation on earth that's more resilient than Am Yisrael.
That's true.
And that we ripped off a Band-Aid. And now the healing begins. You're a psychology student. And so I think that these are concepts that you understand. But sometimes things need to be torn down to be built up even better than before.
Of course.
So with you, I'm going to hope that is what comes out of this.
Yeah.
Let's talk one more thing that hit very close to home. You're a student at Boulder.
Yeah.
How did this terror attack on Run for Their Lives, particularly in light of the passing of Karen Diamond a couple days ago from We're talking about a Holocaust survivor literally burnt alive in the USA in Boulder, Colorado. Now, you went to school there. You know those streets. Again, like you lived in Beersheba for a summer. You just lived in Boulder for a year. This could have been you.
Yeah.
You could have easily been at this run for their lives. I think it's mostly a walk.
Yeah.
I expect that you'll probably be there in the coming year. Mm-hmm. If, God forbid, our hostages aren't home yet.
Yeah.
How did that moment affect you?
Yeah, that was really, really hard to hear. What comes to mind is like, why Boulder? Like Boulder is such a small city in a huge country where I happen to go to school and I know this walk. I've been there when they've walked. I go to the Pearl Street all the time and this happened where I've been. And it really was what, and honestly, what was really upsetting too was the school didn't send an email regarding what happened. Chabad did to the Jewish students, but yeah.
Was school in session?
No, okay. It was summer.
Okay.
But that's no excuse.
Yeah.
And hearing about her dying was just the fact that she was a Holocaust survivor and this is how she had to go is just so awful. And I definitely will be at those marches because hopefully the hostages will be home by August when mm-hmm. I'm back at school. But I do plan on walking with them because mm-hmm. the more people, the stronger we are. And it was really horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was absolutely tragic. I'm just curious because I know you're a little bit outspoken and we'll get into this. When there wasn't a response from the school, did you contact the school to confront them?
Contact them because of the times that I have contacted them and have never gotten a response. But no, I did not contact them.
And that seems to be the overwhelming reply to everybody I talk to on every campus is that the administration just doesn't even respond.
Yeah. What's really hard for me with the Boulder administration is that the chancellor is Jewish mm-hmm. and the chancellor has come out and said he supports Israel. He stands with Chabad. He came to Chabad's huge event and doesn't care to send an email to the student body when there are so many Jewish students, some of which were probably at this march or on mm-hmm. Pearl Street. Like, come on. Like, you can't run a school and have these beliefs and not bring them together. Like,
do you think that the school, because there's so much controversy and hot water, is staying away from it so as to not upset, you know, the very vocal anti-Israel contingency?
Yes, I strongly believe that they are too scared to stand with a side that's controversial. And so they choose to be silent, which is also controversial.
It's sad that we live in a world where the controversial side is supporting the people who were the victims of the terror.
Right.
But that's a whole nother discussion. So you've got a lot of strong feelings. This is very apparent. So I want to segue a little bit and ask for you, which do you think is more powerful, facts or feelings?
Ooh, that's hard. I don't know. Both. I mean, facts are obviously what help you when, like, supporting your argument and knowing what's right. Mm-hmm. But feelings also help with how you feel about those facts and, like, stuff mm-hmm. like that. So
the real issue is that the anti-Israel people are, for all intents and purposes, relying exclusively on feelings, okay? Facts don't matter to them. They're not interested in the facts. They accept wholesale facts from Hamas mm-hmm. And from the heavily biased media.
Yeah.
So all they need to know is that a building fell down and there was a baby in it.
Right.
And the argument is over.
Yeah.
So that's why I ask you facts or feelings, because mm-hmm. younger people tend to be more driven by feelings.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that older people are not driven by feelings, mm-hmm. But we perhaps think a little more critically,
yeah,
and rely more on facts.
Yeah, I actually, that's funny you bring that up, because on Love Island, there is a Jewish contestant, and he on his Instagram has like a highlight of him going to Israel because he's Jewish, and all of social media now is hating on him. He's been to Israel, so that means he was in the IDF, so that means he killed babies.
Well, we all did. I mean, I do it for a hobby.
Right.
On weekends especially, but sometimes in the middle of the week too.
Yeah.
Because I need the baby guts for my matzah, and which I eat all year round because I've got so many dead babies around but I obviously I make light. Yes, it's sad and it's sick. And,
yeah.
And among other things, Jewish and Israel aren't even the same thing. I don't say this to separate myself in any way from Israel. I am part of Am Yisrael. My heart lives there. But it's anti-Semitic to conflate all Jews with Israel anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about facts a little bit. Most kids today get most of their information from social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. That's not a personal opinion. How do you inform yourself mm-hmm. about Israel and the war?
So I follow a lot of accounts on Instagram that are reliable. And my dad also informs me a lot. I also look at camera for information, because I will be interning for them in the fall. And I do look at social media, but I make sure that I'm looking at verified accounts and make, like, seeing, you know, if does Stand With Us post match with Jewish Breaking News or Stop Anti-Semitism. So I definitely am careful with what I read, and I also think that I'm knowledgeable enough to know if I'm reading something that may be twisted.
So you're looking more, you're going to social media, but you're looking more to organizations and influencers?
Well, just like accounts on Instagram.
Okay. So, for example, Stand With Us versus Michael Rappaport.
I watch both.
Okay. Michael Rappaport, Noah Tishby, all of them.
Yeah, Tessa Bexler, okay. Noah Tishby. I read a lot of Noah Tishby stuff and Tessa Bexler, because Tessa Bexler, you know, is younger and went through the college experience as a Jew and experienced anti-Semitism. And it's easier for me to relate to that. And I really like Noah Tishby because she also came to speak at DeToledo.
Okay. So how active or interactive, I should say, are you on social media? So it sounds like you're getting a lot of information from social media. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's relatable. It's bite size. I think it's easier to consume, especially for younger audiences. Do you interact or are you more of like a swipe and like?
No, I do interact. I post on my social media about Israel, about what just happened. I posted about the woman that died in Boulder. On TikTok, there's so much anti-Semitism, and I'm always in the comments fighting with people, just commenting on an innocent person who's wearing a Star of David necklace isn't even mentioning anything about Israel, and someone in the comments is saying, free Palestine, like, get a life. Like, you're really going to spend your time on that? And so, yeah, I am very active. At the beginning of, well, like a little after October 7th, one of our family friends posted something extremely anti-Israel, and I confronted her. And
you say a family friend, adult or child?
Child.
Okay.
Posted something extremely anti-Israel, and I confronted her, had a whole conversation with her, and it ended up being ridiculous because she was not going to give up on her whatever. So I unfollowed her, haven't spoken to that family since. And yeah, there's been other occasions where I've swiped up on, like, I had like a mutual friend who posted something and I confronted her, unfollowed, because what? Like, yeah. It's very hard for me to see. And it feels sometimes personal. And yeah.
I know the kinds of comments I receive on social media, things I wouldn't write to Hitler. It's just so vile,
mm-hmm.
and so mean. It's not productive. No. It's not constructive. Do you receive that kind of abuse, or is it more just free Palestine, which is, it may be offensive, but it's innocuous ultimately?
So on my social media, I'm a private account. So there aren't, I mean, if someone did do that, I would block them. But whereas on like TikTok, when I'm talking about interacting with people, it's on other people's posts. Yeah. And yeah, I do see extremely absurd things that people are saying. And I never know, like, what am I supposed to say to that? Like, I'm never going to win with them.
Right.
Which is horrible because I know I'm in the right.
Yeah.
And I know I have my facts straight, and it's horrible. And it's also horrible how naive people are to follow that and to just be like, oh, well, Shauna says free Palestine, so I'm going to say free Palestine. So, like, it's just,
right.
We don't.
Right.
But it's like, you need to back yourself up if you're going to say crazy statements like that.
Not all battles are worth fighting.
Yes.
Particularly on the internet.
That's true.
Think about it this way. There's nothing that anybody's been able to say that's going to make you say, oh yeah, you're right, I hate Israel.
Right.
So you do have to give grace to the other side that is really entrenched, that they're not going to be like, oh yeah, you're right.
Never no, mind. I don't.
So it's probably that you have to sort of pick your battle.
Yeah.
On like who's willing to have an open and rational conversation, who cares about facts, and who you just have to ignore, because sometimes when you spend too much time defending yourself, they win because they've backed you into a corner.
Yeah,
even
definitely.
If it's not a fair corner.
Definitely.
So let's talk about advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
The first time that I was made aware of your advocacy was when both of your parents separately texted me about a coffee shop incident.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what happened that day?
Yeah.
And what compelled you to speak up the way that you did?
So I was touring Boulder, and me and my mom were at a hotel and went to the Starbucks in the hotel, and there was a person where who was the barista and was wearing a Free Palestine bracelet. And I said to them, like, do you know what you're supporting by wearing this bracelet? They're like, yes. I don't exactly remember what they said, but something about, you know, hating Israel, da-da-da. And I took a video, a very discreet video, because I sent it to the ADL.
How old were you?
I was 17, or 18, actually. And we complained to the manager of the hotel, and this person was just fighting with me, but all they were saying is, like you were saying about the feelings, well, Israel da-da-da, which is da-da-da, and like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I think, I don't remember what I said, but I was talking about, like, you know, have you seen the years of history? And she was talking about, like, occupation, and I'm just like, I didn't know what to say, because that was, like, one of the first times I had confronted someone face-to-face, and I was so shocked and angry that I think I was just, like, frozen.
Did you feel scared, or did you feel empowered? Like, was your blood boil? Like, what was that moment like?
I had so much adrenaline. I did feel empowered. I wasn't scared at all, because I'm standing up for what I believe in, and I know this person wasn't going to do anything to me because we were in a public space, and nothing that this person could say, unless it was like a personal attack to me, could take me down, because I was just like, you mean nothing to me. Like, your feelings, your words mean nothing to me. So there's no reason to be scared.
Okay. And that springboarded everything. So you just finished your first year, mm-hmm. At, as we've said about 100 times, University of Colorado at Boulder. So did you go to college anticipating that there would be a lot of anti-Israel and anti-Semitic adversity? Because obviously there are some schools, Columbia, Harvard, UCLA, who have been all over the news for their anti-Semitic incidents. Boulder hasn't really, like, made that illustrious list. Mm-hmm. So what were you anticipating when you decided that you were going to go there?
So coming from a Jewish high school, I felt very sheltered because I was surrounded by only Jews. And I was aware of anti-Semitism on college campuses, but nothing specifically about Boulder. And when I got to Boulder, within maybe the 2 weeks that I was there, there was a pro-Palestine protest. And I went up to them and I was screaming at them. And the chancellor came up to me and pulled me aside. He's like, you need to stop screaming at them because they're going to scream more. I was like, okay. And I just broke down in tears because I was so upset and disgusted by Boulder, and I was just appalled. And then there were more incidents in the library where SJP would sit in the tables, take up the chairs, take up the whiteboards, and write all this horrible stuff, Free Palestine from the river to the sea, your tuition is funding genocide. And they would sit there in their keffiyehs. And one of the times was during finals week, where the library is supposed to be quiet. And yes, they were quiet, but the words they're displaying are not quiet. And I went up to the security and I was like, how is this allowed? They're like, they're quiet and it's free speech. I said, do you know what they're chanting? Do you know what any of this means? He goes, this is free speech. I said, you should really look into your facts. When you're calling for people to die, when you want me as a Jew dead, that's not free speech.
That's right.
And I walked away, and I, as a Jewish student, was forced to find another place to study, which the library is for everybody. And if you want to protest, go outside. Like, it's really not that hard. And I know for a fact that not only Jewish students, but every student was either annoyed, angry, had some feeling towards what they were protesting about. The library is a place to study, not to protest. And I emailed the head of the library and the chancellor about how I shouldn't be forced to find another place to study because of people calling for me to die. And I never got a response. And yeah, I definitely have negative feelings towards Boulder about how they've handled anti-Semitism and Israel. And Boulder does have a decent sized Jewish population. And even if there was one Jew at a school, the faculty should still speak up. And Boulder has not done that. And it makes me really sad. And I still love the school, but it's very frustrating when they obviously aren't taking anything into action, don't care what people are saying, not responding to an email. And a few of my friends emailed too. It's not just one person. Yeah.
While you were at school, did you ever encounter any hate speech that was directed at a group other than Jews?
No.
Okay. I feel like I'm cross-examining you.
I did. No, there was, because the protests I saw were really only Free Palestine protests.
Because this whole free speech discussion is forced upon us. It's really not free speech because it's speech that would not be protected by anybody against any other group. And double standards are not just anti-Semitic, but we're talking about hate speech here that would not be tolerated with any other group.
Yep.
Do you think that the campus climate at Boulder was better or worse than what you actually anticipated? So you're entering, it's the middle of the war. It's not like the war started while you were there and you didn't come in with expectations. Mm-hmm. Better or worse?
I think worse.
Worse.
Because, like I said, I was super sheltered at DeToledo, that I wasn't fully aware of like what could happen. And like, obviously I would see at Columbia and Harvard, but I was told like, those are extreme. Boulder won't have that. Mm-hmm. And obviously it wasn't nearly as bad as the other schools, but any protest against Israel is bad, in my opinion. And I was definitely saddened, but I was also grateful that for Chabad, because the rabbi and his wife are an amazing support system, were really there for me after that first protest where I was crying. And even though like the chancellor won't do anything, like I know that I feel safe because of Chabad, along with like all the other Jewish students who go there for support, for Shabbat. I'm very grateful for that.
So there we have that return to community, that cocoon that you felt while you were in high school, of knowing that you are with your people. Before we go forward, I'm just curious, how do you think most of the students, the kids, forget about the faculty administration, how do you think most of the students feel about Israel, about the war? Do you think that most of them even care or know or are involved in anyway?
Mm-hmm. I think majority of them don't care.
Majority, like 50%, 90%?
Like 50% don't care. Okay. And then I think there's the ones that are Zionists and then the ones that are anti-Israel. And yeah, there's been like instances in classes where students have raised their hands and answering a question and they choose to answer it in a way to support Hamas or something, like, and the teacher does nothing about it.
Can you give me an example?
Like, I was in an international affairs class and the teacher was asking us, can we name some terrorist groups? Because we were talking about terrorism. And I had said Hezbollah. And the teacher goes, Hezbollah is not a terrorist organization. And
they're,
I go,
actually a designated terrorist organization.
Recognized by everyone. I said, yes, it is. She said, no, it's not. And so I let it be. But I was like, really? Like, you're a professor. Like, you should know this. And they're like, I don't remember exactly, but I just remember I was in that same class and a student raised his hand and said something about Gaza. And I'm just like, come on. Like,
okay, so 50% you think don't care, don't know, don't whatever. They're in the don't column. Of the other 50% of the kids at Boulder,
yeah,
what percentage do you think are pro-Israel? And I don't even call it, I mean, you could call it pro-Hamas.
Anti-Israel.
Pro-Hamas or anti-Israel. Like, I wouldn't say it pro-Palestinian because it's really either pro-Hamas or anti-Israel, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm not sure because I mostly hang around Jewish people. And so I see that side of things. But then again, I see the protests with a bunch of students who are anti-Israel.
Right.
But I don't know about, like, the student population in general. But I do think a lot of people just don't care, don't pay attention. Yeah.
Are the anti-Israel protests bigger, louder, more prominent than the pro-Israel ones?
100%.
Do you think pro-Israel students are afraid to speak up and demonstrate?
I think some maybe, but I think since the Jewish population is so strong with so many supporters that it creates a space that, like, they feel that they can speak up and will be supported.
But it sounds like they're not speaking up compared to the anti-Israel.
Do you mean speaking up like
demonstrations?
Oh, well, there were not protests, but there were like Jewish events, but other than like the Run for Their Lives on Pearl Street, there wasn't really anything like that on campus. But SSI did hold events. We had a huge October 7th event.
Were there first of all, could you tell people what SSI is?
Students Supporting Israel.
And were there anti-Israel protesters when you did an October 7th event?
No, there was security outside. And yeah, we were in a huge auditorium. One of the security guards from Nova spoke, and, Bar, one of the hostages, his brother, yes, his brother spoke. Yeah.
What percentage of the kids in SSI do you think are Jewish?
I think 100%.
100%. You don't think you have any non-Jewish? Is it known as a Jewish organization or it's just a pro-Israel organization?
I think pro-Israel, but I think a lot of people associate the two.
Okay.
But there are non-Jews that do come to Chabad.
Is there a Christians for Israel group on campus that you know of?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. What percentage of your friends at school are Jewish?
Like, almost 100.
Okay. Are they all pro-Israel?
Yeah.
Do you have any friends who are not pro-Israel?
No. I would not be friends with someone who wasn't pro-Israel.
Why?
Because that's what just a deal breaker, honestly. Because that's something like I feel so passionate about, I associate myself with, I post about it. I've been like, and I also associate sometimes Jews to Israel. Like if someone didn't support Israel, I would feel that they're not supporting me as a Jew.
I hear you. I get you. And 100% about with me, it's just about shared values.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be friends with somebody who doesn't share my values.
Yeah.
Because what do we share? So as a freshman, you get a random roommate. That's how I remember my freshman roommate. We didn't love each other. Mm-hmm. She wasn't hard. We just didn't, you know, jive. And that's very common.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are, you only have, and not only, you basically have Jewish friends. You only have pro-Israel friends. You get this rando as a roommate.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Well, we met through Instagram, mm-hmm. and we met before. She knew I was Jewish. She's not Jewish, but she saw, like when she first met me, how obsessed I was with Israel, that she just took on like being a supporter, an ally. And now she sends me stuff. She posted about what happened in Boulder. And I just felt like so grateful and like proud that like it's just a perfect example of someone who has no relation to any of this, that one of their friends is so passionate that they're going to feel that way to support their friend and to support what their friend is supporting. And yeah, so yeah.
I love that. I think about my nephews they're at San Diego State,
uh-huh.
and four of them are. Three of them pledged AEPI, and so did their non-Jewish roommates. Same thing.
A few of them at Boulder. I know a few kids that pledged AEPI who aren't Jewish, and I'm just like, I love you. Yeah. Like, it's amazing.
So Students for Justice in Palestine was basically kicked off campus.
Yeah.
At Boulder, yeah. and at many other schools. But it sounds like they are still there and active. When you talked about the library incident, you specifically said Students for Justice in Palestine. Do you have any reason to know that these were SJP or using it as a catch-all term?
Well, I think that most of them were students in SJP, but I do think there were definitely some Boulder residents who came to protest, like older people wearing a keffiyeh. Like, I don't know. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
I think a lot of them were students. Actually, the head of SJP at Boulder was two of my friends, RA. The resident advisor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She was very vocal about her hate towards Israel for being...
As an RA?
Yes. She wore a keffiyeh.
An RA?
Yes. She had pictures.
Did you report that?
Yeah, well, yes. They reported her. Well, they had a mezuzah on their door, and she had made comments, I think. And they reported her and got her to be... They got another RA, but she was still the RA for everyone else on the floor. And yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Jewish Voice for Peace?
I'm familiar with the name, just not, I just haven't heard of it through at Boulder. Yeah.
Do you know who they are?
Yeah, it's just Jews that are anti-Israel.
Yeah. In your opinion, which is worse, SJP or JVP?
JVP. It really upsets me when Jews are anti-Israel. And it's so hard for me to call them a Jew because Israel is the home of the Jews. And how could you say you're Jewish when you don't believe that your people have a homeland? It's absurd to me. How could you call yourself a Jew and pray but not believe in Israel? Like, you're praying to Israel. Like, it doesn't add up. And honestly, it's insulting to other Jews who are Zionists and who are proud Zionists, proud Jews, for Jews to support the enemy, to support people that do not want us in Israel or on this earth. Like, it's ridiculous.
Why do you think this organization exists? Why do you think a Jewish kid, especially, you know, I see online kids who claim to have grown up in the Jewish education system, in the Jewish summer camp system, in whatever, whether it's true or not, there's no way for us to know. What do you think would compel a young adult to join Jewish Voice for Peace, to speak against their own people?
I really don't know. I don't know. That's a very hard question. It's like I said, it's so hard for me to understand that it's hard for me to come up with like a reason why someone would do that.
So you're studying psychology. I'm going to give you a term that was coined by Gad Saad. I don't know if you know him. You should look him up. He's a phenomenal psychologist up in Canada. And he calls it suicidal empathy. Hmm. Does that resonate?
Suicidal empathy.
What's empathy?
Like feeling for another person.
So if a Jew suddenly decides that the good guys are, or the enemy is the good guys,
right,
then this is suicidal empathy.
Mm-hmm.
If the one might say, I mean, we didn't, so some people compare them to like the Capos. Do you know who the Capos were? Okay, so in World War II, there were Jews who basically acted on behalf of the Nazis in order to save their own lives. So maybe they cleaned out the gas chambers. Maybe like, so, mm-hmm. so they, it was different. It was different because it was to save their lives. And these people, I might argue their lives at this moment are not in any way at stake.
Yeah.
But the suicidal aspect being that we are empathizing with somebody who would rather see us dead.
Yeah.
Does that resonate?
Yeah. I like that. That's actually a really good term because, yeah, they're supporting something that is against them. And, yeah,
Do you think part of it is either fear or what the most common driver for young people, which is wanting to fit in?
I think it's wanting to fit in. I don't really think it's fear. Like I said before about following the trend, that – this seems to be one of the new trends. And I think people just want to fit in. So if everyone else is supporting that, then they're going to support it. And they probably don't even know what it means.
Jane, I have to say you have an incredible confidence about you. And I know you were a little nervous about speaking today, and I just want you to know, because we're going to wrap up shortly,
mm-hmm.
That first of all, it doesn't come through. You're a very confident speaker.
Thank you.
And I do hope that you're going to continue to speak forthgoing in your life. So this next question, I think I could answer without even asking, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Did you ever at any time feel personally threatened or intimidated on campus, whether it was by students or professors? You're so strong and so confident. I'm just curious, like, if anybody ever broke that shell, and if so, like what were the circumstances?
I never felt intimidated because I don't, when I get like angry or something, I tend to take on that, like I try to intimidate the other person. Some professor was so rude. He just had such an ego and he would just teach with it. And he had made some comment and I went up to him after class and I genuinely felt that I intimidated him because he was too stunned to speak. Like he didn't know what to say, but no, no one has made me feel intimidated. Just cause I think I'm so strong in what I believe in. And I know that like so many people have my back with that. And yeah, I've never felt like threatened or.
Who has your back?
Zionists, I would say Jews, but there are Jews that aren't Zionists. People who love me. Yeah, I think that all Zionists have each other's backs, and because we all have the same wish, which is for Israel to exist, for the Jewish people to have a homeland. And so if something were to happen, like look at how the world or the country came together because of the disgustingness that happened in Boulder. Like we don't know anyone there. Even though I have a personal connection to Boulder, like we still were all heartbroken and what can we do to help? And yeah.
Are you ever, whether at school or in the world, afraid to wear your Jewish star, your dog tag, or anything else that indicates it?
No, I wear my Jewish star every day, and knock on wood, I've never gotten a negative comment. I've only gotten positive comments. And I want a bigger one because
a Michael Rapaport. You can get like one of the Run DMC ones that's like a clock that's like this big.
And I like wearing the dog tag because if you're a Zionist, if you're a Jew, you know exactly what it means, even though they probably can't read what it says. Like they know exactly what this symbolizes, and I just love that. Like when I see people in public wearing it, I'm just like, thank you. Like I'm amazing. It's really, really nice.
Instant connection.
Yeah, instant connection.
Do you know what it says?
Yeah. In Hebrew?
Yeah.
Halov Shalanu Shavua?
Shavui
Be'aze?
Be'aze. That's how they say Gaza in Israel is Aza. Do you know what that means?
No, I don't.
Do you know what Shalanu means?
No.
Do you know what Lev is?
No.
Okay, my goodness, you went to Jewish high school. Okay, so I'm gonna explain something to you that is interesting and good to know because you're wearing the necklace.
Yeah.
Halev means the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's singular.
Oh, our hostages are in the...
So Halev means the heart, okay? Uh-huh. It's singular. Shalanu means our.
Yeah, our hearts are in Gaza.
Keep in mind, Halev is singular.
Oh.
So it's our heart.
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. Meaning a shared heart.
Yeah.
Shavui means is held captive.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that our collective heart, our collective soul is we're all in Gaza. We're all being held captive until hostages, all 50, come home.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting and I think unique to Am Yisrael that we would think of a heart as being singular instead of plural.
Mm-hmm.
That it beats together.
Yeah.
Okay, last couple questions I want to ask about. So, because you're 19 years old.
I am.
And the last election, timing is everything. You're 18 years old, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And your first time voting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Israel is a political issue or a moral issue?
Moral. Because it's just the right thing to do. And for this past election, I was a single issue voter. I voted solely to support Israel, even though I do have other things that I value and I care about. Israel is just always on the top of my mind and something that I knew it was a very hard decision, but I knew that's what I needed to do for myself and for Israel and for Jews and I agree.
So the reason why Israel is a moral issue and not a political issue is it's extremely important that support for Israel in America always remains bipartisan. Mm-hmm. If you know, more and more, unfortunately, it's becoming a Republican value. This is a real problem for the next time we have
an election.
Democratic administration. So it has to be our goal as pro-Israel Americans to make sure that not just one side, but both sides of the aisle continue to support the alliance, because Israel is our most strategic ally, not just in the region, but in the world.
Yeah.
They are our most supportive ally. They are our most valuable ally. Everyone likes to say in the Middle East. The fact is, in the world. America gets as much from Israel as Israel gets from America.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we take into account shared morals and shared values, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, or independent. Hopefully that means that Israel is always important and always will be.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to say congratulations on being selected for the 25-26 camera internship.
Thank you.
Amazing. David Lippman from Camera was on this show. I really enjoyed talking to him, and a lot of people loved hearing what he had to say. You're lucky that you're going to be getting this from the inside.
Yeah.
So first of all, honestly, like, huge mazel tov. I just want to know, like, what are you expecting from this internship? What will you be doing? What's the next year going to look like for you?
Yeah. I'm super excited, because this is like my first like actual, thing that is like my passion with like a real world thing. And so I'm super excited to share my passion for Israel with others. I'm going to be bringing in speakers and hosting events and hopefully getting more people involved on campus and, yeah, hopefully meeting some great people along the way.
I think they picked the perfect person. Is there only one intern on per campus, or are there other people at your same campus?
I'm pretty sure that the one that was at Boulder is either graduated or is going to be a senior. So I think I'm the main one.
The main man. Okay. What do you think campus life is going to look like for Jewish students after the war?
So that's a very hard question, because I feel like the war, specifically of anti-Semitism, will never end. And I do think that, like you were saying before about how sometimes it needs to be bad to get good, that I think the Jewish community at Boulder is filled with a lot of great people, students specifically, that I feel that we can rise up and make Boulder safe for everybody, especially Jews. And yeah, I think we have a really good group of people that care a lot and want to do something. And I think also now that we're going to be second year, I think now we're maybe more comfortable at Boulder and know people and stuff like that. So I think that that will also have a positive impact on like advocating for Israel on campus and making sure people are safe. And yeah.
And what are your plans after college? I know you just finished your first year, but it's, believe me, take it from an old person. Three years are going to pass really fast.
I know.
What comes next for you?
Well, I've always wanted to move to Israel after college. Not forever, just for a few years. And I want to go to grad school. But yeah, I want to go to Israel, enjoy my life, enjoy my 20s, and just be where I love. And yeah.
Okay. Last question, Jane. You've really been amazing. So thank you for all of this. What does Am Yisrael Chai mean to you?
Ooh. Just my love for Israel, and yeah, I guess love for Israel.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I can't wait to see what you do in the years to come.
Thank you.
I know I'll get a lot of texts about it.
Yes.
Hopefully from you, but yes, definitely yes. From your parents.
Yes.
So, Am Yisrael Chai.
Yes, Am Yisrael Chai.
Thank you, everybody, for joining.